Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. It's always so good to be in church. Because church is awesome. And we had such a great time here on we've had church all week this week, it seems like. We had Bloom, our ladies' meeting on Tuesday night, which was so amazing. And then we had church on Wednesday night. And now here we are together. And it's just great to be with our church family. Amen? And so we're starting a new series today that I'm super excited about. And it's called, My Church.
Watch out now.
My Church. Amen? And we got this awesome graphic up here. You can see if your face is in there. It might be. We got a few people in there. And so what we want to talk about for the next few weeks is about your church. When we say, people say, hey, what kind of church do you go to? Don't you get that question? You know, hey, what kind of church is this? What kind of church do you go to? You should be able to answer that church, that question about your church. I got church on the brain. You should be able to answer that church. And so we want to talk these next few weeks just about what's important at your church. Amen? So we're going to talk about the values of BVC, what's important to us, what kind of church we are. And really, we're proud of our church. We're proud of what God is doing here. We're proud to be a part of this body of believers. And it's so important that we maintain our values. Amen? We need to maintain what God placed in our hearts years ago. We need to make sure that we maintain those values, that those are always first and foremost in what we do. Because we don't want to get off track. We want to stay on track, right? And so we're going to be talking today about your church. And we have a theme scripture for every series that we do. And the theme scripture for this series is Daniel chapter 6, verse number 3. And so we're going to talk about what's important here at BVC. And in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 3, it says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administration and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." And so you can take this, what the series that we're doing, and you can say, you know what, I'm going to apply this to my life as well. Because when you're a person of values, you are raised up.
Amen.
And Daniel says here, he says, listen, Daniel distinguished himself among the administrators. He distinguished himself among everyone else because he had such high values. He would not compromise himself for the world. He had standards and he had values and he kept strong to those. He kept true to those. And eventually the Bible says that he was set over everyone. He was set to be a ruler. And here he was. He was somebody that, obviously, God uses people that are, it so confuses us sometimes to think, man, I can't believe God's using that person. But you know what? They're going to say the same thing about us. Boy, I can't believe God's using that person. God has a history. He has a track record of using people that are the least likely that you would pick. I mean, think about it. He picked Moses. Moses murdered somebody out of anger. He picked David. David was an adulterer, we all know that, but even more so than that, David was also, he sent Bathsheba's husband to the very front lines of the war, knowing that he would be killed. And so I would say that's an accessory to murder for sure, right?
Amen.
You know? And so then you think about even Paul. God used Paul. Paul was so anti-Christian. He was a blasphemer. He was a murderer. He was the one who was trying to take down the body of Christ, take down the church. But yet God used these people to do amazing, significant things in the Word. And so when we think about our values and what's important to us, we got to recognize, you can't look back at your past and say, well, because of this, I can't be, you know, I didn't have values then, so I can't have any now. No, today's the day to say, I'm going to distinguish myself. I'm going to distinguish myself. I'm going to be like Daniel. I'm going to be like Moses. I'm going to be like David. I'm going to be like Paul. I'm going to be the one that has a past, but I distinguish myself in the things of the Word. I distinguish myself by my values, and God set me in a high place. Amen? And so when we see this and we see what God did with Daniel and we think about our church and what's important to us, One of the things that's most important to us as a church, most important to me as the pastor, is, and every week we're going to say, my church and something that we do, something that we believe. And today is, my church empowers people.
Amen.
My church empowers people. One of the most important things to me, and one of my life vision, my the thing that gets me up out of bed every day, is I want to see people do what God has called them to do.
Amen.
I want to see people live the life that God has made available to them. I want to see people overcome their past and rise up and do the things that are in their heart to do. That is the most important thing to me. It's more important than anything else because it is what Jesus came to give. The Bible says in John 10:10, it's one of our most favorite scriptures here at BBC, is that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Or another translation says life to the full. And so one of the things that's most important here at BBC is not that we as pastors and ministers, not that we're lifted up, that you're lifted up. Amen. Amen. That you are empowered, that you are raised up to do what God has called you to do. And so today we want to talk about how the word and how my church, say my church.
My church.
My church empowers people. Amen. My church empowers people. And so when we think about our church, and we got to make sure that we stay the kind of church God wants us to be.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to stay the kind of church God wants us to be, and that's a church like the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, that's where the church, the local church, was really formed. The body of Christ was formed, and Jesus gave example and showed us how the church was supposed to be. And we want to make sure that we don't get off track. How many know it's easy to get off track?
Easy.
It's easy to get off track, and so we want to remind everybody, hey, my church empowers people. My church encounters God. That's another one. My church enjoys life. My church prays. Amen. My church lives generously. These are things we're going to talk about. That's what your church does. That's the kind of church you go to. And so when we think about this, it's important that we make sure that you have the right picture of church. Because your idea of church and your view of church will determine what church is to you.
Amen.
And there, let's all just be honest. There are some people that are doing church different. They're doing church different. And there's a lot of great churches, but there's a lot of religion out there, and it's souring people on church. It's making people think church is something that church is not. It's not what it's supposed to be. And so we've got to make sure that my view of God and my view of church are accurate to the Word of God. Because how you see things is how you respond to them. Have you ever had somebody that got scorned? You know what scorned is? They just got scorned really bad, and they've gone through a divorce or a separation or whatever. They are not the person to talk to about men or women, whichever way it goes. Because if you start talking, they're gonna be like, oh. All men are this and all men are that and blah, blah, blah. And you can't trust women and, you know, women are just going to do this. What's happened? Because of their reality, it has changed how they see everything. And so we know that sometimes somebody can have a negative encounter with church or religion or things like that. And so it can change how you see things. And so we want to adjust our view. Adjust our view. You know, if you look into a camera, and you know, it's old fashioned now, but the cameras that you have to focus, when you first look in there, everything is all blurry. You don't see it very well. But as you focus it, it gets sharper and sharper, and then you can really see what it is. And that's what we want to do. We want to make sure if you got a blurry vision of church, we want to focus you in and show you what church really is. With this, we can't speak for every church,
nope.
But we can speak for this one.
Amen.
And so we want to show you what church is here. And so it's important that you have the right view of church. And in the Old Testament, you know, we see all through the Old Testament, and just give you a little, who's ready for a little history lesson? All right, little bit of teacher coming out. In the Old Testament, God chose one group of people. He chose one group of people. How many know the Israelites, the Jews? He chose them. And then out of them, he chose another group. And it is called the house of Levi, the third house, the house of Levi. How many have ever heard? Not the jeans, not them. It's different Levi. Different Levi. And the house of Levi, he was the third-born son of Jacob, or who would be known as Israel. Okay? So he was the third-born son. And God said, I'm going to use this house, the house of Levi, and they will be the priest. And they were the Levites. And so the Levites became the priest. And so anybody that went to God, it could only be the priest. It could only be from the house of Levi. And if you needed to talk to God, you had to go through one of the Levites. How many say, this is sounding familiar. I've heard of this before. You had to go through the Levites. If you wanted to read the word, you had to go through the Levites. Anything holy came through the priest. That was in the Old Testament. And they would put on these robes, and it was very holy, and it was very ornate, and they would have tassels on their robes, and each one meant something. And these guys were set apart. They were different from all the other houses. They were the Levites. They were the priest. But then Jesus came. Thank God Jesus came. So Jesus comes. Now the Old Testament is an example for us. It's an example for us. And the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. So we don't do away with the Old Testament, but we look to the New Testament to fulfill the Old Testament. So what that was how it was then, but now Jesus has come and there is a fuller way. Okay? So Jesus comes and Jesus starts walking around and he's preaching and he's teaching. He's not wearing a robe. He doesn't have any tassels. And so all the religious people were like, whoa, wait a minute. You don't have a robe. You don't have tassels. You're not allowed. And then Jesus starts talking to common people. He starts talking to people just like you and me. He starts talking to the commoners, the people that didn't have robes, didn't have tassels, were not from the house of Levi. Some of them were even Gentiles. They were non-Jews. I mean, this was so radical at the time. It was so incredibly radical. And so he starts talking to the people. He starts talking to common people. And he starts telling them, you are the light of the world. And then he's saying, you are the priest. This is craziness. And so Jesus comes and he removes it from only the house of the Levites, thank God, right? He removes it from that and he says, now, the one translation says, you don't need a mediator to get to God anymore. We don't need that anymore. And so Jesus changed all that church was. Jesus changed it. It was no longer an elect few who could be used by God. Now it was the body could be used. No matter who you were, no matter how common you were, no matter what nationality you were, no matter what color you were, even no matter if you were slave or free, it didn't matter. Jesus came and spoke to everybody. He spoke to the tax collectors. He spoke to the prostitutes. He spoke to the drunks. He spoke to everybody. And he empowered them and told them that you are called of God. I mean, if you think about where people were and what they thought and how Jesus came and changed everything, he changed everything. The reason the religious people didn't like it is because they didn't want to release the control of the church. They didn't want to release the control of the church to the people. They wanted to be the ones that made all the decisions. They wanted to be the ones that were called on whenever there was a need. They wanted to be the holy ones. But Jesus came and said, I'm making you all holy. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus came and said, I'm making you all ministers, no matter where you're from. And so this really, really changed the church.
Amen.
But here's the really bad part. After the book of Acts, and after Jesus did all this, And after Jesus taught the disciples and he sent out the disciples out, and they just kept multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. People think, oh, there's only 12 disciples. No, there were 12 chosen that walked with him, but Jesus sent people out all the time. He sent out 70. He sent out 140. He sent people out all the time. He empowered people to be used by God. But then after that, time came by, and guess what happened? The church went right back to the way it was before, where there was a holy one. There was whatever, you know, there was somebody you had to go through to get to God. There was a separation between the holy people, the priest or whatever, and the people. It went right back to that. But then around, we're still in a history lesson, then around the 1500s, how many have seen any movies about the Crusades? The Crusades and the church. What happened was that it's the Catholic Church. You know, the Catholic Church had such a grip on the nations. The church was the nation. But then people started coming and they started reading their Bibles. They started sneaking in and saying, hey, this isn't how this works. We don't need to go to you. We can go right to God. And that's what, if you hear in history, that's the Protestant Reformation. Started to happen around the 1500s, where people started taking control back and started saying, listen, I don't have to answer to you. I answer to God. And so everything began to change again. But there were wars that were fought and people that gave their lives because they switched from a Catholic to a Protestant religion. And the difference was, a Catholic believed you had to go through the hierarchy of the church to get to God. And the Protestants said, I can read the Bible myself, and I can go to God myself. Mm-hmm. They were getting back to the way Jesus. Now, there's a lot of great Catholic church. Don't start saying, hey, she's anti-Catholic. No, I'm anti anything that makes you feel like you're not empowered. I'm anti anything that takes away from what Jesus has done for us. But there's a lot of great. My brother was filled with the Spirit of God with the evidence of speaking in tongues by a nun. So there's a lot of Spirit-filled, awesome Catholic churches. Amen. So don't think like they're all like, you know, no. There's a lot of really great ones. But there are some that are still caught up that you need a man to get to God. I don't need a man to get to God. Because the Bible says that Jesus, there was a veil that separated the people from the Holy of Holies. And when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil was rent in two. It made it possible for Hebrews 11 for me to go boldly. I can go boldly. Say, I can go.
I can go.
I can go boldly before the throne of grace. I can go. I don't have to go get somebody to go for me. I can go. And that's the church that Jesus gave his life for. Amen? So we got to make sure that we got the right view of church, that we understand what church is, and we got to maybe focus in and say, hey, I'm going to make sure I'm seeing this right, that I don't have blurriness. And so a lot of people have this idea that church is, it's a locked, like a locked door. It's a locked gate. It's a locked gate. And it's so important that you know, turn over to Mark chapter 8. It's so important that you answer that. This is a big question. I got a little ahead of myself. In Mark chapter 8, verse number 27, this is Jesus talking. It says, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? Who do people say I am? And they replied, they said, some say John the Baptist. The reason they thought he was John the Baptist is because they had just beheaded John the Baptist and they thought he came back as John the Baptist. And then they said, some say Elijah. The reason people thought he was Elijah was because Elijah was the only person who didn't die. God came to get him in a fiery chariot. He didn't die, he just left. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, you're having lunch at 2J's, you're at the end of your life, you're ready to go. It's like, you know, you've served the Lord, you're in your 90s or whatever, and all of a sudden a fiery chariot comes up. It's like, beep, beep, Peggy, I'm here for you.
Leave the chicken tenders.
Wouldn't that be awesome? I'd be like, can I take my matzo ball? Can I take that with me? And so they thought he was Elijah because that's what happened with Elijah. And then they said, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. Some people thought, he's nobody special, he's just a prophet. He's one of the house of Levi. He's one of those guys. But Jesus said this, he says, but what about you? What about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves often. Who do you say I am? Who is God to you? Who is Jesus to you? Because you got to make sure that you're zero. You got your focus. Who is Jesus to you? Because some people are just going to say he was a teacher, he's a good man. Some people are going to say he's a spiritual guy. Some are going to say that he wasn't the Son of God, but he was just really anointed. That's what some religions say. But the question is, who do you say? And so Jesus says, but what about you? Basically saying, listen, it doesn't really matter what all those other people are saying. They'll answer for what they say. What about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter answered and he said, you are the Christ. You are the Christ. That he knew. But people think church, when you think of church, just we want to make sure we got our view correct. They think it's kind of like a locked gate that only certain people have the key to it. Only certain people have the key. Only certain people can come in. Some religions will even say to you that there's only a certain number of people who can come in. There's only a certain number of people that can come into the family of God. After that number is reached, you're all out of luck. And that's not true. Because the Bible says that Jesus isn't slow in his promise to return for us, but he is waiting. He is waiting. God has him waiting because he's not willing that any should perish. Amen? He's not slow. He isn't up there snoozing. He's waiting. As soon as he's ready to come, it's kind of, you know, Jesus, God probably says, all right, get on the horse. And then he sees somebody come. He's like, wait. One more's coming. It's not a closed club. It's not a closed club. You don't have to be from a certain family. You don't have to be from a certain part of town. You don't have to be a certain intellect. You don't have to be a certain economical position. You don't have to wear a fancy robe. Somebody saying, thank God. Amen. We don't have to have tassels on our clothes. You know, and if you watch carefully, you can see that some Orthodox Jews still have those tassels on their clothes. They still have them because they're still living in that Old Testament lifestyle. But Jesus came to set us free from that. He came to open up the gates. He came to open them up and say, you can all come in. That's the church. The church is for everyone. Amen? The church is for everyone. Another times people think, you know, when you think about the church, you think about, well, you know, when it comes to being, you know, used in the church, ministering in the church, being one of those holy ones, we think, no, I can't get in because it's only for some people. I can't be used by God because that's for Pastor Peggy and Pastor Scott. They're the ones that are supposed to be used by God. No. I heard a pastor say this and I thought it was so hysterical. He said that he was out somewhere and the weather was getting really bad and somebody looked at him and said, well, talk to him, talking about God, talk to him. And he said, he looked at the guy and he said, listen, I'm in sales, not management. I thought that was so funny. I'm in sales, not management.
That's funny.
But that's how you know, and here's how you can see, this is how you know if you need to maybe focus in a little bit. If you think, I need to get Pastor Peggy to pray. I need to get Pastor Devon to pray. I need to get Pastor Scott to pray. Because if they pray, it's better. It's great to have people pray with you, but you can never forget that you can pray yourself.
Amen.
Amen? You don't have to go through somebody to get to God. Hebrews 11 says, I can go boldly before the throne of grace. Amen? There is no locked gate. There is no, it's only for the people on the stage. No, it's for all of us. You know, some of the best ideas at BBC are not mine. They're not my ideas. You know, what we're doing, let me tell you something about how awesome your church is. In children's church, and it was all their idea, they came and said, hey, can we do this? I was like, man, that's the best idea. I love that. Let's do it. They've adopted a girl. A young girl, she's 16 or 17, And she has one child already, and she has another one on the way. Now, immediately you can judge, because obviously she's made some incorrect choices. But haven't we all?
Yes.
And so they came to me and said, and it's through First Care, who they did the big walk for, she has no family, she has no support, she has no one, but she's made the decision to keep this baby. Can we adopt her as a church? Yeah. Here's the really great part. The last Sunday of every month, the children's church, they have a big review party. They call it a power jam. And they review everything they've learned and this power generator. It's really awesome. And they have all these, I saw a kid with a pogo stick. I was like, where'd you get that? He's like, out of the power generator. You know? They got all these awesome toys in there. They got all these things. And they can use their power bucks that they earn by knowing scripture, bringing friends, all kind of other things. They can use those to buy stuff in the power generator, right? You follow me? Today, all those toys are there, but you know what else is in there? Diapers, formula, stuff that girl needs. And they're teaching those kids that it's not always about you. They're teaching those kids that even though we make mistakes in life, there's a church that loves you. You're part of the church, and our job as a church is to take care of people. Our job as a church is to distinguish ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
And so today, I bet a lot of those guys, they don't come out with toys because they bought diapers. So if your kid comes home today and you say, hey, what'd you get in the power? And they say diapers, don't be freaked out. Don't be freaked out. Like, diapers? What kind of church is this? Be proud of your kid. And if your kid comes with a pogo stick, just maybe next month they'll get some diapers. But that's your church. That wasn't my idea. That wasn't Scott's idea. That wasn't anybody on this front row's idea. That was the church. And so this isn't the Peggy show. This is the God show. Amen? And Jesus came to empower all of us. Our Love Like Christ challenges that we do every single month. That wasn't my idea. I have nothing to do with that. That was Ben's idea. Hey, what if every month as a church, we just do something to show the love of God? Call it hashtag love like Christ. Let's do it. That's an awesome idea. So many of the ideas here. So it's not me. It's not Scott. It's not Devon. It's not the pastors. So if you think only the pastors do the ministry, you're wrong, because Jesus said, the Bible says that my job is not to do the ministry. That's not my job. You know what my job is? My job is to equip you to do the ministry. The Bible says that I'm to equip the saints. The Bible calls you a saint.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When somebody says, oh, you're not a saint. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. I mean, I look like one right now. I mean, I sound like one, but I am one. My job is to equip you. But the church got flipped back around, where it was the people's job just to pay for the minister to do all the work and be the holy one that went to God and had all the answers and had everything. No, we gotta make sure we keep it flipped back, where it's the body of Christ that we serve, that we do, that we're empowered, that we remember that it's not a select few that are the priest. We're all the priests. The Bible says that you are a royal priesthood.
Amen.
Amen. You are. Not just a few people. You are. We all are. Amen. And so we got to make sure that we're not looking at it and saying, oh, it's a locked gate. I can't get in. It's only for people that went to Bible school. Listen, some of the most anointed, amazing people I know have never stepped foot in Bible school. They've never stepped foot in Bible college. But they're anointed and they are used mightily by God. And so it's not a locked door. Jesus already unlocked that door. Remember last series that he has the keys. He has the key to every locked door. And he opened up that door of tradition, that door of religion, and said, all right, everybody, come on in. Come on in. Another reason why people sometimes are hesitant to step up and to be the church. You just want to go to church. you don't want to be the church, is because you feel like, oh, I got too much baggage. I got too much from my past. I got too much. But you know what? You're exactly the kind of person that God loves to use. Amen? You are exactly the kind of person God loves to use. Look again at all the people God used. Think of Rahab. She was a prostitute. And yet God used her in a mighty way. God uses people that other people think are nobodies. But when the power of God gets on a nobody, man, watch out. Watch out. Watch out. And so don't think that your luggage is keeping you from being the church. No, don't just think you got to, oh, I can only come. I can only come because I got saved and everything, but I've been in jail. You'd be shocked how many people in this room have been in jail. You'd be shocked. Paul was in jail. Mm-hmm. Peter was in jail. Amen. A lot of people have been in jail. Don't let those locked doors keep you locked up now. Amen. You're out now. God's got a plan for you. Amen. Amen. God's got a plan for you. Thank God.
Praise Him.
So I got too much luggage. I've been married so many times. Well, think about the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. She was married 5 times, and then she was shacking up. Mm-hmm. Right? The woman, the man she was with now was not her husband. Mm-hmm. Hello? But yet God used her. God used her to go. You know, after she drank that living water, she went and preached to the town. She went and preached to the town. She preached Jesus. She didn't just go to church. She was the church. Amen? She was the church. And so don't think like, oh, I'm just going to come and I'm just going to sit because I've done all this stuff and I don't want anybody to know. Listen, God already knows. We love you. We forgive you. We have our own past. God has a heart for you. And He's saying, don't just go to church. You are empowered to be the church.
Amen.
Say, oh, I can't lead a small group because of this. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. I can't do this, but yes, you can. Yes, you can. What we have done does not nullify what God has placed in our hearts to do. Because here's the thing, God already saw this day. He saw every day you've had in your life, yet He still called you. He still put that dream on the inside of you. He still put that desire and that hunger to do and to be the church. So don't let luggage keep you out of doing what God's called you to do. We've all got baggage. Everybody's got it. Some, maybe yours is a little bigger, but that's okay. Because the more you drag it into church, the smaller it gets.
Amen.
Amen. You can't leave your baggage outside and come in and put on the face and woo, and then go out and take your baggage home and never bring your baggage into church. You need to bring it all in. Bring it. You say, oh, but Pat, no, bring it all in. Bring it all in, and the more you bring it in, the more you bring it to Jesus, the more He just starts saying, oh, you're not this anymore, you're not this anymore, you're not this anymore, you're not this anymore. Next thing you know, you got a little backpack. Amen? Because we all got a little bit, right? We all got a little something. Like Pastor Scott says, he's like, everybody's got a flat spot. That's his nice way of saying, everybody's got an issue. He's like, everybody's got a flat spot. We all do. So whatever that baggage is, don't think you got to leave it outside the church. That's what the church is for. It's for us to unpack and unload and give it all to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. You know, another reason sometimes that we don't become the church, we don't step out into the power God has for us. We don't think that we're qualified to do and to minister and to talk and to have dreams and have ideas is because we think there's an endless ladder that you have to go to. Like, oh, you know, I gotta go to a Bible college, and then I gotta go to seminary, and then I gotta take classes at the church, and then I gotta memorize all the books of the Bible, and then I gotta do this. It's like always all this stuff. No, God just says, come. Come. Because when God starts moving in you, the way it's supposed to work is He moves in you and then it goes out through you. You don't even have to know where anything is. That's what Google's for. You're like, hold on, I'll get that verse. If you know any part of it, just Google it. It'll pop up for you. It is the best Bible verse finder there is. It's better than any program out there. If you just know a little bit of that verse, punch it in there. And so if you're talking to somebody, just like, hold on. You hold on 1 minute. Right here it is. You don't have to get somewhere to be used by God, because when God starts moving in you, the plan is, the purpose, the way Jesus came to design it, he moves in you, he moves through you. And it goes out to you. You are qualified now. Colossians says that he qualified me to be a partaker. He qualified me. None of us can qualify ourselves. We've all got too many flat spots. Amen. Jesus qualifies us. And so don't think, oh, it's this endless ladder, because the truth of the matter is, it's what everything that God gives us, it all always comes with one thing. It's a free gift. You don't earn your way to be used by God. You get to be used by God. Amen. You get to. Ephesians says it the best out of the Message Bible. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse number 8 and 9, it says, for it is by grace. Somebody say grace.
Grace.
It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, not by classes, not by showing up all the time. No, it's by grace, not by works, so that no one can boast. You say, well, I don't know this and I don't know that. Do you know that God has moved in you? Do you know that God has touched your life? That's all you need. So then when you go to talk to people, you're not saying, oh, well, you know, I went to all these classes, and I got A pluses in every single one of them, and I did so good. And you want to hear all the books of the Bible? Genesis, Exodus, I can say them all. I can do. You want to know where some verses are? I can bring them. That's boasting. It's in you and your ability. That's not what it's about. It's about to say, hey, let me tell you what God has done in my life and what he can do in your life. That's what it's about. That's being the church, not just going to church. That hurt and that heartbreak and that pain that has happened in your life, let God use that so you can look at somebody and say, I know what you're talking about, man, but come on, let's keep walking. Yeah. Let's keep moving forward. Let's let God heal our hearts together. You know, the person who'd be the best person to do a small group on divorce recovery is somebody who's recovering. Amen. You'd be the best person, because you're going to be the most compassionate. You're going to be the most caring. You're going to be the most understanding. You're going to be the most, I've been there, I know what you're talking about, than anybody else could be. And you're going to say, hey, let's get healed together. Let's get healed together. Quit listening to what the world says. The world says you got to do, you got to blah, 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 blah. You know, let's stop that. Jesus came to empower you. He came to empower me to not just go to church, but be the church. Amen? To be the church. And so we think about this, and we think of in Ephesians, for it is by grace. You know, when you think about where you've been and what's happened in your life, you say, oh, but I do have dreams. I do have visions, but there's just no way, because let me remind you of Paul's life. You know, Paul, sometimes you think, oh, I gotta get over it, and I gotta be in a different place before I can be used by God. Here's the thing that we forget about Paul. Paul was called on the road to Damascus. You know where he was headed? He was headed to an execution that was by his order. By his order. That's where he was going. And God met him right there, changed his life forever. And then now there were things that he needed to learn, and there was stuff, but he immediately got into the church. He got into the church. But sometimes we think like, oh, I gotta be completely healed before I can do anything for God. Then you're never gonna do anything for God. Because there's always stuff the enemy's gonna bring up. Oh, I gotta be here, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Paul was called, knocked off his horse, had an encounter with God on his way to an execution. I just think that just astounds me. I look at that, because Paul, you know, when God saw him, he didn't see what he was doing right then. He saw what he was going to do. And then God used him to write two-thirds of the New Testament. I mean, if that doesn't freak you out, I don't know what will. Out of all the people, he used him. You know, somebody, some goody-two-shoes was probably like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But God says, let's use this guy to show everybody. It doesn't matter where you're headed. It doesn't matter where you've been. God can still use you. And not just use you to, like, you know, clean the bathrooms, although that's an awesome thing. But he can use you to write two-thirds of the New Testament. Amen? He can use you to do some big stuff. That's the God we serve. Amen? And that's the kind of church you go to. A kind of church that doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, you're disqualified. We're going to look at you and say, I don't care what's happened to you, you're qualified to do something. And we'll find out what it is. We'll find out together. Amen? And we, our job, my job, Devon's job, Scott's job, Steve's job, Ben's job, our job is not to do it for you. Our job is to equip you to do what's in your heart to do. That's our job. And that's why we have small groups. That's why we teach the word heavy. That's why we encounter God, because we want you to do what God's called you to do. Amen? We're equippers. You are ministers. You're ministers. Oh, I got to get the pastor. No, get a minister. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. You're the minister. You're the minister. Do you know the word clergy is not even in the Bible? It's not even in there. You know, every year when I get my ministerial license, they give me a clergy sticker. I never put it on my car. I don't know why, I just never do, because there's never any clergy open spaces anyway where you park. You know what I'm saying? I think like once, one time. But you know, that word is not even in the Bible. Now, God has called pastors to lead the flock. But the flock, we're all the ministers. It's not just the Levites. It's not the guy with the fancy robe. It's not the guy with the big thick Bible. It's not the guy with the tassel on his clothes. It's not that guy. It's the guy in the t-shirt, the flip-flops, and the shorts. It's that guy. Amen? It's that guy. It's the guy with the tattoos. Don't let that ruffle your feathers, but it is. Amen? It's the guy with the past. It's that guy. It's all of us. Amen? It's all of us together. And so I love what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1. You know, Paul was so amazing because, you know, they said, we're going to behead you. And you know what he said? To die in Christ is glory. He goes, it'll be good. Go ahead. I'll just be with Christ. You know, no matter what they said, he was okay. Why? Because he understood the power of God. He said in 1 Timothy 1:12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Here's the thing. He wasn't faithful, but God considered him faithful. He became faithful. Amen. He became faithful, but when God knocked him off his horse, he wasn't faithful. And so you might be sitting here saying, but I don't have, God sees in you faithfulness. God sees in you strength. God sees in you ability. God sees in you the you are when he empowers you. That's the God. That's what God sees in you. And Paul writes and he says that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though, how many got it, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out. Isn't that good? And so God sees in you, and you say, well, even though you can tell people, hey, I'm involved in, when people say, man, you work in the nursery? You're an usher? I had somebody give me a hard time one time because I made somebody an usher. And they were in recovery, but they had been clean. They had been clean a little bit, probably, you know, a few months. And so they wanted to be an usher. They went through the Thrive Track. They did the training. They were born again. We made them an usher. Somebody came and said, I can't believe you made that guy an usher. He's only been clean for 2 months. if that. And I was like, I can't believe you have a problem with that. I can't believe you have a problem with that. Now listen, we would put that guy in the youth ministry? No, we would not. But can he be an usher? Yeah. Of course he can. Of course he can. I said, I can't believe you have a problem with that. God's grace, God's mercy. We're not looking for perfection. But this guy had a heart to serve. When somebody comes and says, "But I want to do something. I want to serve. I want to be part of the body." Who are we to say, "I'm sorry, you can't be"? Because no. Because you know what? If we look close at all of us, we could say no to all of us.
Amen.
We could say no to all of us. Now the Bible does say, "To whom much is given, much is required." And so yeah, there are steps you go to for certain things. But everybody can tell people about Jesus. Everybody can come and be a minister on one level or another. Everybody. Everybody. Because that's the plan that Jesus gave us. He said, I'm qualifying you. Amen? I'm qualifying you. Acts 10:35 says, it makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. Out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He says, it doesn't matter where you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. Oh, isn't that good? The door is open. If you're ready to do as he says, the door is open. God empowers us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 21, out of the New Living, just kind of a shortened version, he says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then you will be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. It comes from God. We don't clean up ourselves. It comes from God. Amen? We don't make ourselves worthy. It comes from God. God does it. God does it. You know why God does it? So we can't boast that we did it. We give him all the glory. And so if you're sitting here today, I'm going to give you quickly three things that you need to do to sharpen up your view of the church. Because your church empowers people. Number one, you got to receive his love. The Bible says, because really the reason a lot of times that we just want to hide and sit in a pew and not do anything and not open our mouths and not share is out of fear. Oh, I won't know the answer to a question. I won't know this. I won't know that. Well, what if they find out about me? Well, it just shows them what God has done. Amen? Never be afraid of your past showing up. If your past shows up, just say, well, look what God has done. Amen? Yeah, all that's true. Look what God has done. God saved me. He restored me. He rescued me. He freed me. He lifted me because of where I was. So don't be afraid of your past. Let your past give glory to God because of where you are now. Amen? Because of where you are now. And so Ephesians 3:18 says, that you may have the power to understand. And you need to pray this. This is a prayer that Paul wrote. You need to pray this prayer that you will have the power to understand, as all God's people should. Everybody needs to know this. How wide, how high, how long, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ through it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. The power you're looking for to distinguish yourself comes from God. If it comes from anything else, it's temporary and it won't last. It won't last. But we all need to understand how much God loves us. He loves us enough to say, I see you different than how you are right now. He loves us enough to say, I know you have a past, but that's what my blood is for. Amen? I know you're weak, but that's what my strength is for. I know you need wisdom, but that's why I said ask for it and you'll get it. Amen? Yes. That's the God we serve. You got to know how much God loves you. And number two, you got to know how much you're worth.
Amen.
We talked about this on Tuesday night. You have got to know your worth. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, you ready? You ready for this? He says, but you, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you.
Talking about you.
You are a chosen people. Oh, get ready for the next one. A royal priesthood. A holy nation.
Right.
A people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This was so different from what the people knew. When they started talking like this, people were like, you guys have lost it. It's only the priest. It's only that nation. It's only that house. It's only those guys who are a priesthood. And Jesus came and said, nope, not any longer. He said, you are the chosen nation now. You are the royal priesthood. You are chosen by God. It's not just a select few. It's all of us. Amen. It's all of us. Isn't that great news? I love that. You know why I love that so much? Because listen to me. If you had known me, 30 years ago when I was graduating from high school, I still to this day have people that I went to high school with that just Facebook me and say, I cannot even believe you are a minister. That's just crazy to me. I had my friend show up and say, I saw her and I was like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And she was like, she goes, I go to another church, but I just had to see this. True story. True story. She goes, I just had to see this. I would never be the one that you would think would be here. Never. I still to this day, occasionally, before I walk out to preach, I think, God, are you sure? Because there's always in your mind going to be somebody better.
Exactly.
Somebody more qualified.
Exactly. Yeah.
Somebody more or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But God says, if you love him and you're ready to do what he says, the door is open. If you love him, and you're ready to do what he says, do what he says. That's a big part of it. The door is open. And so I am so thankful. I am so thankful that God loves me enough to, even though, isn't that what Paul said? He said, even though. I got a whole lot of even though's. God uses me even though. I'm a minister of the gospel even though. Even though. Just like Paul. Amen? Just like Paul, just like the woman at the well, just like Peter, just like all those guys, just like you, just like the person sitting next to you, I am a minister of the gospel, even though I was a. I am so thankful that God showed me that my worth is not in my own ability or anything other than what he decided to pay for me. That is my worth. And the Bible says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You hear me say that a lot when I'm exhorting. I'll say, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Because I remind myself, it isn't what people say I am that matters. It's what God says I am that matters.
Amen.
Amen. It's what God says. So you gotta receive God's love. You gotta know your worth. And until you know how much you're worth, you will constantly be putting yourself on sale.
Oh, yeah, that's good right there.
That's a good one, right? That's a good one.
You got it right there.
Be like, oh, whatever you'll pay, we'll take. No, no. You are worth far more than that.
Amen.
Amen. And the last thing is, fulfill your purpose. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably, that means it can't be measured, more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. It's not you, it's God in you. Amen. He's doing the work. He's gonna make you able. He's going to anoint you. He's going to open the doors. That's what God does. We just got to say, Lord, I love you, and I'm ready to do whatever you say. And he opens the door, and he calls us royal priesthood. You don't need to go to somebody to get to God. You go to God, because that's who you are. You're the minister. Amen? And so when you say, what kind of church is BVC? Say, my church empowers people. My church, this church will never be, oh, it's just us four and no more. You guys are here to serve us. No, we're here to serve you.
That's right.
To equip you to be ministers of the gospel. We minister together. We minister together. I love when somebody calls and says, Pastor Peggy, I got an idea. Let's hear it. I love that. Because I want the best ideas and the best thing this church ever does. I want them to come not from me. I want them to come from you. I want them to come from you. Because we are the body of BVC. And to get all of us are much smarter than one of us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All of us are much more capable and empowered and strong and just incredible than just one of us. So it's all of us together that make BVC BVC. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you that, Lord, that you call us chosen people, that we are the royal priesthood, that you have equipped us to be ministers of the gospel. That's who we are. We are children of the Most High God. And we don't just go to church. We are the church. We're the church. We are the bride of Christ. We are his hands and his feet. We are the remnant. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. That's what Jesus called us. That's who we are. And Father, I pray for every person here that, Lord, those things on the inside of them, those reasons they've been giving themselves to not step up and be the church. Oh, but I've done this and I did that. That, Lord, you would just tell them, stop saying that. You are a royal priesthood right now. You are a chosen generation right now. You are ministers right now. Right now, right now, we love you, Lord, and we're ready to do what you say. And we thank you that the door is open for us. Before we leave here today, the first place you got to start, you know, I always say you got to start with start. You can't put the cart before the horse. You got to start with start. The place to start is receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Before you can do anything, you need to be removed out of darkness and be translated into the light of his dear Son. You need to have Jesus come and rescue you, save you, forgive you of your sins, make you a brand new creation in him. That's all free. And Jesus said, it's for you. The Bible says, whoever believes in his heart that Jesus is Lord will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here today and you haven't done that, you've never opened your heart to Jesus, you've never said, Jesus, I want to give you all of me for all of you, let today be the day you do it. Somebody here today, if you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. That's me. I see your hand. Anybody else? That's me. Oh, thank you, Lord. For the sake of those who raise their hand, let's all say this prayer together. Say, Father God,
I believe
that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came,
that
he died, that
he rose again,
all for me.
I receive him
as my Lord
and my Savior.
I repent.
I turn my back on
a life without him.
And I say, Jesus,
I love you.
I'm ready to do
what you say to do.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. Hey, we're going to go. I ran a little bit over. I'm sorry. I got to reel it in. Amen. But you are, who's the minister?
We are.
When somebody said, hey, who's the minister of your church? Say, I am.
Yeah.
I am. I am. You need prayer? I'll pray for you. You need hands laid on you? I'll lay hands on you. You need to know something? I'll tell you something. And what I don't know, I'll call my friend. We'll ask them. We're the ministers. We got pastors, but we're all ministers. Amen. We're all ministers. Hey, we're going to give. We're going to receive our offering.